Before we get going this week...
Hello?
I wanted to make a quick phone call. Tell me what your name is.
My name is Lisa.
And you used the promo code Yankee to get a subscription to Our State Magazine.
Yes.
Just to get you up to speed, I offered the people the chance to get $5 off a year's subscription to Our State by using the promo code Yankee. Because people pretty much called me a Yankee after I made a mistake. Did you originally hear me mispronounce Appalachian in the first episode?
I did.
What did you think when you first heard me say that incorrectly?
That you're obviously not a North Carolina native.
So you knew it that quickly?
Pretty much.
Where would you think I was from if you just kind of had to go off the sound of my voice?
Probably from more of the Midwest.
Yeah, you got it. Have I mispronounced any other words?
No, but I guess here's a test.
Okay.
There's a town near Burlington. It starts with an M. Do you know the town I'm thinking of?
Yes, I do.
And how would you pronounce that?
I would pronounce it Mebbin.
Congratulations, yes, that's perfect.
Excellent. I feel so much better about myself now. That Yankee promo code still works. If you want to get $5 off a year subscription to Our State, which is full of majestic photography, vivid writing, and other stuff that makes you just feel good about North Carolina, head over to ourstate.com, click on subscribe, and just type in the promo code Yankee. Again, ourstate.com, hit subscribe, type in the promo code Yankee, and get a discount. If you love this state, you will love this magazine, and it also makes a great gift as well. Now, direct from the Appalachian Mountains, here's this week's show. Today, our journey begins in a place where the road ends. It's Sunday. It's rainy, it's gray, and luckily it's not a long walk across a gravel parking lot to a pontoon boat that's pulled up to the shore.
Watch your step, it's kind of slippery.
Yeah, I'll be careful here.
I am one of the first people to arrive, and everybody else that's already here assures me that rain is really out of the ordinary on these trips.
I didn't believe it was going to be this bad.
It could be worse.
Oh yeah.
Two Sundays ago when we started up the river and looked up at Clingman's Tome and High Rock, it snowed.
Then Helen shows up.
Hey, Helen.
Which way?
I'll give you a hug.
Hey, good to see
you. How are you?
Helen Vance is 90 years old, and she's the reason why we're all here. In the pouring rain, about to head out on a really big lake that sits right in the heart of the Great Smoky Mountains.
How many do we have back there? Five?
A few dozen people show up, get on board, and then we set out from a small cove into the middle of the lake. There are green mountains all around us, the clouds are low and wispy, and the water is nearly flat. It looks kind of like a Bob Ross painting. I wipe off a vinyl seat and sit down next to Helen. So can you tell me a little bit about kind of where we are, like what's below us right here, what used to be below us right here?
So it's a very busy little village down below us. Yeah.
And that was under 30, 40 feet of water?
Oh, and about what? 40. How deep is it? It's right at the beginning of the Fontana Dam, about 400 feet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is it hard to remember or visualize what it used to be like down there, or do you remember it plain as day?
I can see it. It all just brings back memories. I can see it in my vision, what it used to be. But everybody comes in today just sees the ruins. So it's quite different for them and for you than it is for me.
Yeah. After a 15-minute boat ride, we pull into another cove on the other side of the lake. And there, some national park rangers are waiting for us.
Watch your step going down, please.
Everybody very carefully gets off the boat. It's still raining, and the path that leads up the hill into the woods is muddy. Helen walks past me, and not long after, her son, David Vance, pulls me aside.
But you're saying just she's modest? She doesn't...
Oh, no. She's really modest. Yeah, it's like...
Like how amazing is it what she did?
They would have been lost. Most of these cemeteries would have been lost. It would have ended up that nobody knew where they were.
So, the thing that we're going to, the thing that's at the top of this hill, is a cemetery. And the only way here is by boat. It's a place that few people can get to. The story of how it got this way, how it got to be such a remote place, it's the story of progress, a park, and promises, and about how one woman, for 40 years, kept hope alive and kept a sacred spot from being forgotten. From Our State Magazine, this is Away Message, a podcast about what you find in hard-to-find places. I'm Jeremy Markovich. So let's go back and talk about why there's even a lake here in the first place.
In one of the great river valleys of America, something went wrong.
During the Great Depression, the Tennessee Valley, which includes parts of western North Carolina, was hit especially hard.
The descendants of the pioneers were a neglected people, living in a ruined land.
The mountainsides had been logged. That caused erosion and flooding.
Destruction from the sky.
Farmland had been ruined, and the federal government decided to step in.
An act was passed creating the TVA, the Tennessee Valley Authority.
The TVA then set out to build a series of dams for flood control, to make power, and to bring jobs.
The walls of the new dam tower into the sky like mighty modern pyramids.
Dams started rising up everywhere.
Douglas, Guntersville, Cherokee.
At one point during World War II, more than a dozen TVA dams were under construction at the same time, including
Fontana.
At 480 feet tall, the biggest dam in the East.
Built for and owned by the people of the United States.
Of course, there's another side to the story.
To many of the Valley people, the plan was an intrusion.
To Helen Vance, it was more than just an intrusion.
I was about 15 when we found out for sure we was going to have to move.
Helen grew up near a town called Proctor, North Carolina, near Hazel Creek.
If you're standing at my house, you'd be seeing fields, cornfields, cane fields, apple orchards, barn, a crib, and you'd see the road where it came around in front of our house, old 288.
Did you feel like when you were growing up out here that this was a remote area, like that you were isolated or in the middle of nowhere?
Well, yes, in a way we did, in a certain ways, yes, because, but not to a certain extent either, because everybody was having a struggle during the Depression.
And everything felt normal to Helen.
And then that when World War II broke out, when TVA came in right after that, on January the 2nd, 1942, they had bulldozers and things that were already rolling in Fontana at the village, over at Fontana Village, to build the dam. So we knew for certain it was going to be happening then. I mean, we didn't have any doubts.
What did you think?
It was a sad feeling at the time because that's all the life we had known. And my father lived there all of his life. And so it was really sad because we thought we were going to have to move. We didn't know where.
In fact, some servicemen came back from the war. And at first...
And they'd come back and have to ask where their family went to.
And all the while, the water starts coming up.
The entire TVA project will affect the lives of over 6 million people.
The little towns in the valley, towns like Forney, Judson, Bushnell, and Fontana, disappeared under the surface of the water. Here's Helen's daughter, Lee Woods.
It'd be like taking a county today and cutting it in half and saying, we're going to flood this half. Y'all go somewhere and find some place to live. That's what happened to Swain County.
So Helen and her family all moved to Silva, about 30 miles to the east.
You know, you're a teenager, you're moving to a new place. What's it like moving from kind of this, you know, very remote place to into town?
Well, town back in the 40s, even the small towns were much bigger than what we were used to. We didn't have lights. We moved to Silver, we did have electricity. But with a mile out of town, they didn't have lights. So it wasn't a great big change for us. It really wasn't. We had an up-to-date high school, we had an up-to-date church. And so as far as a big change, it wasn't that much difference, just being a different area.
After that, life goes on. Helen graduates high school, gets married, has a family. But she can't go back to the place where she grew up. It's underwater. And there's another issue. When the lake filled in, cemeteries in the flood zone were moved. But graveyards that were above the waterline were just left there. And the ones on the north side of the lake, they became part of another new thing.
Atop the purple high country of North Carolina and Tennessee lies the Great Smoky Mountains National Park.
And while the park got, well, a lot of accolades,
national parks are not built. God did that in the beginning.
There was also an agreement in place. The federal government was supposed to build a new road on the North Shore, 30 miles through the park, from Bryson City all the way to Fontana Dam and into Tennessee. It was supposed to be called Highway 288. Today, it goes by a different name, the Road to Nowhere. It's called that because only the first 7 miles of the road were ever built. It runs from Bryson City, then winds westward to a tunnel, and then it stops.
So why didn't it keep going?
They stopped in 1971 because they hit a particular kind of rock, and then there was controversy over where to build it.
And that controversy was never resolved. Now, that voice you heard is Karen Marcus, who knows a lot about local history. She says conservation groups opposed the road. Locals still wanted it built, but they wouldn't get their wish. In 2010, instead of finishing the road, the Park Service just settled with Swain County for $52 million. A lot of that money has yet to be paid out.
So it's still a bit of a sore spot out here.
With some people, yes. Some people want the road built, and I would still love to see the road built. I understand why it's not.
So remember that tunnel we hiked through back in episode one?
Hello.
That is where the road ends, for good.
And that means the only way to get to these cemeteries or to get to the north side of the lake is by boat.
Right.
Which means for more than 30 years, people like Helen Vance had no easy way to get to these cemeteries, to visit the graves of family and friends. And then, thanks to Helen, something changed. That part of the story, when we come back. Okay, here is a partial list of things I bought as gifts last year. A bourbon cookbook, a smocked dress for my baby daughter, a pie dish, a casserole dish, sea salt made in Wrightsville Beach, and a fleece and a mug with the state of North Carolina on them. Here is what all of these things have in common. They all came from the Our State store. Yeah, Our State has a store, and it contains stuff that was made here or things that show off your North Carolina pride. For instance, would you like a wooden map of North Carolina that you can stick your beer caps in? Store's got that. Would you like a cookbook that features a bunch of recipes that also feature biscuits? Store has that too. Also has food, jewelry, wedding gifts, all sorts of stuff. There is an entire section where you can find things that are in the shape of North Carolina. It is a great place to find a gift or just to treat yourself. It's in the Our State store at ourstatestore.com. It's a quarter-mile walk up a hill in the rain and mud to get to a small cemetery on a hilltop that's surrounded by pine and oak trees and a little wire fence.
Have you been here before?
No.
No, first time?
Yeah.
What do you think so far?
It's really cool. It's just crazy that the people would have to come up this far to visit their family.
Yeah.
The people here run the gamut, from the elderly to the young. There are grandmothers and granddaughters.
So why did you bring her up here today?
Oh, so she could see where our relatives lived.
Do you think you could live here?
Probably not.
Why not?
I don't know. I feel like I'm away from society.
Everybody has handfuls of colorful plastic and cloth flowers, pink, purple, and white. There are about
160 graves here, and each one gets a single flower, with one exception.
This one's got a lot of flowers.
Well, that's Samuel. That's the main man. That's all of our great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Everybody, most people here, most Cables here are descendants of Samuel Cable?
Cables.
Yeah. So he gets the most flowers. You brought the laundry basket full of flowers for him.
This is Cable Cemetery, one of 28 on the north shore of Fontana Lake, most of which are accessible only by boat. And this is the cemetery's decoration day. It's a long southern tradition of honoring the dead by decorating their graves, singing gospel music, and sharing a meal with others who have come to do the same thing.
What songs are we singing today?
It looks like Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace?
Amazing Grace.
So, after the flowers have been placed, everyone gathers under a big canvas tarp to stay dry.
We're doing page two.
And to listen.
Okay, start. You start. Somebody start.
Lord, we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joys ours to share.
After the songs, Helen gets up and makes an announcement.
40 years ago this month, we had our first organized decoration here since 1944. 40 years ago today, in 1978, we had our first one. And today marks our 40th one that we've been coming here. 40 years ago today, we came here as an organized group.
I think we ought to give the ladies that started this a hand of applause.
And then, a bagpiper starts playing. The last burial here was in 1944. Helen Vance, actually her full name is Helen Cable Vance, was here that year. And after the valley was flooded, she thought she'd never be able to come back. But in the late 1970s, she did. She got a boat and found a cemetery that was overgrown and in bad shape. So she asked the National Park Service if they would clean it up. They did. And then she worked out an agreement for the Park Service to bring people with ancestors buried in these cemeteries over by boat. They did that too. And now, every Sunday morning during the summer, descendants of the people buried in these cemeteries can get a ride over, for free, and visit the final resting places of their loved ones. The music ends, and then, in the middle of the woods, is this huge potluck lunch, with food covering practically every inch of a 25-foot-long picnic table.
All right, if you'll give us just 5 minutes to get the food.
There's a prayer.
Thank the Lord for us all being able to make it safe on this rainy day. And
everyone eats and talks and catches up. After I finish, I take one more stroll through the cemetery and start looking at the graves.
1895, 1917, 1892, died 3 years old, another child died, 1 year old. It seems like, I mean, just a lot of children buried back here. It just seems like a lot
died during 1918, as long as there was flus.
So just a lot of children died of the flu, and
yes,
just seems like it's harsh living up here.
It was a hardship. It was a hardship, but yet, during that time, his heart ever worse.
It's something I can't even imagine. And so, here in this place, I try, but I just see graves. Helen?
Hi.
She sees people. People she knew.
I can remember so many funeral services here of people that we've come to during my lifetime. And I was only 17 when we left. But I can remember so many of them. One of the last ones, that was just like it was yesterday.
Wow.
And most everybody had moved out, and they had trouble getting enough people to dig the graves for them.
How do you feel every time you come back here?
Well, it's like coming home, in a way, to come back.
And even in the pouring rain, she had to see it for what may be the final time.
This will probably be my last trip, because, and that's one reason I came to, even though it was bad, because I'm 90 years old, and I doubt if I'll ever get to come back here again.
But how do you feel like leaving this place for maybe the last time?
Well, it's kind of sad saying it might not be back, but I'm just thankful I can come back. I'm really thankful for that.
After a boat ride back to the south shore of Fontana Lake, we all get out, everybody says their goodbyes, and Helen and I go back to her car out of the rain. So you're 90, and you told me that this might be the last time you visit that cemetery.
This could be my last trip here, because I am 90, and anything could happen the next year or two, because I'm not in the very best of health, but I'm fairly good, but I'm have problems. And so it's just every day is a blessing.
What parts of this trip, you know, this experience do you enjoy the most?
I guess the thing I enjoyed most was relocating with people that we had not seen in 40 years, maybe 50 years, and also having them locate their graves. I had one lady come back, and she asked me, said, "Helen, do you know where my son is buried?" I said, "I haven't been back to his grave since he died, since he was buried." And just help people like that, that's been the really positive thing for me, is to be able to help people.
Are you like a positive person? You glass half full, that sort of person?
I am, yes. Yeah. I am. We're positive.
You seem like it, because you seem like all these things happened, you know, like the TVA floods your valley and you have to move, and then a road's supposed to be built and it doesn't happen, and you don't. You sound like you're accepting of it as opposed to angry about it.
I am. You have to. I mean, that's life. You have to accept it as it comes.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore.
On the next episode of Away Message, I see a statue that might have a statue on it.
On the top of her head, look at that. It's another little Buddha on her head.
Oh, there's two Buddhas. The Buddha on the Buddha. And that's not all. I went to an island full of people who can't seem to figure out whether they're in a remote place or not. We'll get to the bottom of it in our next episode.
When that rusted sky gets dark, you can't trust a traveling heart. You can't trust a traveling heart.
Away Message is produced, written, and edited by me, Jeremy Markovich. Our digital manager is Andy Busom. Our music coordinator is Rosalie Catanoso. And our editor-in-chief is Elizabeth Hudson. Our theme song is by The Collection. Our closing song this week is Traveling Heart by Alexa Rose from Asheville. Some additional music by Lee Rosevere. Special thanks this week to Joe Kendrick of WNCW's Southern Songs and Stories podcast, and to everybody at the North Shore Cemetery Association for telling me their stories and letting me tag along. If you'd like to see some pictures from our trip, we have put those online at our Away Message Facebook page, which you can find by clicking on this episode at away.rstate.com. This podcast is a production of Our State Magazine, celebrating North Carolina for more than 80 years. If you like the show, give us a rating or maybe a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, or tell a friend, give us a plug. We would love it if you could help others find out about the show.
Aching to trust my traveling heart, aching to trust my traveling heart, because when the sun goes down, I won't be hanging around.
And one last thing. Helen Vance has done a lot of things in her life, but there's one thing she won't do. You don't sing, Helen?
I do not sing. My daughter does, my son does, but I don't.
Why don't you sing?
My husband's a singer in the family.
Oh, yeah?
But not me.
She wouldn't sing in the car when we were kids.
No?
It would be the three of us, and she would hum.
We're heading back out to another remote part of North Carolina. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
You can only go so far before you find somebody who